Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
As Boone hits it to deep left, that might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boone, a hero in Game 7.
Clemens has set a major league record for strikeouts in a game.
Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm John Senecal. This is Brian Shackman. And this is off-season edition. Yep. We're talking and we got the fire going, kind of hot stove edition.
If you hear crackling, it's a fireplace. We look like we're at the Masters or something. But this is the hot stove and we're heated by the fire. We got a couple of major things to talk
biggest
about.
Biggest thing is he's back.
Alex Cora, back as the manager.
Who'd have thunk it?
A huge part of the sign-stealing scandal in Houston. Pretty much said I decided not to bring it with me and the investigation.
But the investigation. Now that I've been caught, I decided not to bring it with me.
But the investigation bore that out, that he wasn't doing it in Boston and took off a year. And
who was the patsy they got for that in Boston? No one even remembers that.
What, Ron Renicky?
No. The patsy they blamed the cheating thing in Boston on.
I don't even remember. It was assistant GM.
It wasn't even an assistant GM. It was like the traveling. It was like the George Costanza.
I never thought that they would bring him back.
No,
especially
I didn't either.
Ryan Bloom came in, it wasn't his guy.
And it was just like, boom, we don't even care. Like, they jumped face first into the water with that
Which
one.
Makes you think it was in play the whole time.
They probably told him, you're going to go, you're going to disappear, and you'll be back. I remember there being rumblings that he might be back, and that he had a better chance than anyone to come back. But then, like, the Tigers wasted no time, that smug son of a bitch, AJ Hinch.
I mean, here's the way I look at it, is that Alex Cora is loved by the players, loved by the fans.
He's good.
And he's loved by the owners. But wait, Chaim Bloom, if you took him and took him in, gave him some true serum, he'd probably say he wanted his own guy. He wanted a Kevin Cash type, whether it was Sam Fold or somebody else. But you know what? It shows you two things. I think it's that the players, they feel like they need to make the players happy, especially guys like Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts and Eduardo Rodriguez. And the ownership group said, listen, we want him. And they said, listen, what do you have to do? So Chaim Bloom, I think, had to take it. He just had to say,
deal with
it. But he's smart, though, because if he made a stink about it, then he's going to lose his job.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is you want your players happy. And Cora is a good manager, although, like, there's a lot of arguments that he didn't, after 18, that next season was not a good season.
Yeah.
And he didn't manage the team particularly well. But I thought the fix was in. They just said, listen, you just disappear.
Absolutely.
When you come back, show a crap ton of humility, and we can pull this off.
And everybody loves second chances. I mean, it happens all the time in sports and in life. I mean, there's really nothing wrong. I mean, listen, they cheated. He was a big part of it. Like, everybody knows it now. Like, I hate it. I mean, they jacked the Yankees, but still, at the same time, I mean, what are you going to do? He's one of the best candidates out there no matter what. I mean, it's not like he killed somebody.
But to me, it's always interesting about who gets second chances and who doesn't, right?
Right.
I mean, he showed the humility. It's like, well, maybe if Clemens had just come clean, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Do you think different times, different measures, though? If we weren't in the middle of a pandemic and everybody wasn't so freaking sensitive in life in general now, and everybody wasn't just like wanting happy news, do you think he would have gotten a second chance?
I don't know. That's a really good point, whether it's just we needed something to feel good about or a redemption story.
But at the same time, it's like you said, the fans liked him, the players liked him, so like why not give the people what they like.
Well, that to me is the one place where it gets a little sticky for me, is that if it's just because the players like him and the fans like him, that we'll turn a blind eye on something that we wouldn't have for somebody else. But, you know, I know A.J. Hinch got the job in Detroit, but I don't know. I just feel like if we like the person, we give them a ton of breaks. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a second chance. I believe in second chances. I'm just saying that if the guy wasn't so likable, or even if the players didn't like him, he probably wouldn't have gotten that second chance.
So no.
I think it adds intrigue to everything because, you know, listen, a lot of people think the Yankees have done some cheating too. So I think
everybody's done some cheating somehow, I'm sure. At some level, somebody's got something. It might not be buzzers and tattoos, and you know what I mean? But still, at the same time. But, like, second chances. The Yankees were ripe with them when I was growing up. It was like Steve Howe, Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden. It was like they were just handing out second chances.
Well, even Billy Martin.
Four or five, exactly. Billy's back.
Before we get to the teams and free agency and stuff like that, and, of course, you're listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, Brian Shackman and John Senecal here with you with a bit of a hot stove edition. For me personally, this Kim Ng being the GM of the Marlins is not just interesting because she's the first female GM. I think this whole Jeter thing, the Derek Jeter thing, is really interesting. The two of the top three positions in that organization now are held by females.
And former Yankees.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Well, Ng was, you know, she was the assistant GM under Cashman when she was 28 or 29 years old. So it took like basically 20 years for her to get a GM job.
She's a lifer.
And she's good, I'm told. And she was analytics before it was that sexy. So I guess for me, like, I've never loved Jeter, not just because he played for the Yankees, but I always thought, like, he was too careful and crafted about his image. Like,
Yeah, but this is, like, the ultimate image booster.
But you know what? It's something that helps everybody, not just
like
him.
Like, the team has a little buzz, right? They made the playoffs. Mattingly, former Yankee, wins the manager of the year. You got the guy that everybody loves, Jeter, so-called running things, even though he owns like 1% of the team.
But still,
right? Like, you know, Magic Johnson. You put the face out there, you smile. But, you know, when you can say, you know, Derek Jeter, you know, you're boosting the team. And then this is a big move. I mean, it's a first of a first. She's Asian. I mean, it's like you're checking all the boxes.
Yeah. And I think that for him, now that I think about it, it didn't take as much courage to do it there as other places. But the fact that he met her in 1998, kept up that relationship, and then they brought her in as the first female GM. And I actually think that now in the modern era, it is so much easier to do this because so much is related to analytics, A.
Yep.
And B, they've created a new job. GMs are not what they were. Like, Chaim Bloom is not the GM of the Red Sox. He's like the president of baseball operations. But he's really the GM.
Right.
But
he's got like 900.
They make another guy the GM who does maybe the crap work.
Right.
And then the head of baseball ops does the cool stuff and gets the free agents
and gets the credit.
Right, so
and the discredit too.
I don't know what the chain of command is in with the Miami Marlins, but the bottom line is the GM job is not the number one baseball ops job.
Who owns the Marlins now?
I don't know what the ownership group is. I just know Jeter is the manager, you know, not the managing partner. But
I know it's not the Miami-Dade City Council that owns him.
But it's cool. So you got basically Yankees South with the Marlins, right? You got Mattingly and Jeter. The Yankees, we're going to talk about what they're going to do. The Mets are all of a sudden stealing headlines
New
York with Steve Cohen.
And he's like a rock star now.
They love him.
And he came in, he was like, I mean, it wasn't like huge moves, but it was like minor league deal, minor league deal, minor league deal, minor league deal. He's just grabbing all these guys. And now he's like, he's going to jump in. You know he's going to jump in.
He's got cash. And like Marcus Stroman, I don't know if he would have gotten $19 million in the open market, but I like him.
Yeah.
I like Marcus Stroman. But Stroman was like, and maybe he was going to take the tender anyway, but he's like, that press conference is so good, I'm going to sign my tender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's going to
Maybe he also, you know, looks at it like, this guy's legit. Maybe, you know, a good faith, you know. I come out, or I don't even have to start the season. Maybe I get an extension.
So the question is, who do they take away from the Yankees and the Red Sox? Because, you know, like for me, George Springer is the guy I want, but everyone says he's going to go to the Mets now.
I couldn't see DJ going over there.
No? Why not?
I could see him. They could trade El Stinky to him, but then they got who's their catcher?
You don't think that this new owner, this big...
Would love to slap the Yankees in the
face
and get DJ? I mean, money talks for a lot of people, but I mean, honestly, I think the Yankees are not going to let DJ LeMahieu go. I mean, it's not a smart thing. Like, the guy's proven. He can hit, he can play, and he can play in New York. Fans love him.
So what is it going to cost?
I mean, I'm guessing he's going to want a 5-year deal, right? You think he's turning 32? He's going to want a five-year deal.
So like five, 125?
I mean, he's going to want $20 million a year, right? He's going to want $20
million
a year.
I want that. I mean, but you think he'll get that?
I think the longer the contract, the lesser the money. I think the shorter the contract, the more money. I could see a Yankees offer him 3 years, $60 million, and then maybe an option on a fourth year. I'm afraid that the Yankees don't want to give him 5 years because he'll be 37 at the end of his contract. And there's so much, been so much talk about these big contracts and then the uncertainty of, you know, the corona and all that crap. But, I mean, DJ, you know what you're getting with him. You're not going out and dumping a bunch of money on a pitcher that's going to blow his elbow out, possibly, and only start every 5 days. You're going to get a solid player. He's a gamer.
So you think you'd handicap it? What's the percentage that he stays with the Yankees?
75.
Okay. And what else? What's need number two for them?
You got to get rid of Gary. Gary's just, he's got to go. But his stock is so low now, coming off these last 2 years, even though he was an all-star 2 years ago, which is shocking. You're going to have to throw him in some package. I don't know. Can you flip him in a deal with Lindor? Can you trade him to the Mets? Can you trade him? I don't know. I mean, somebody will take him because of the potential. Maybe it's a thing in New York. I just don't think he's really that good.
You know, it's funny. The last thing I have to say about the Yankees, and I honestly, from what I've seen, and I don't follow them like you do, I think they have to get rid of Chapman. I do.
Chapman's got like one more year on his deal.
I would. I don't want him as my closer. And the thing is, he throws hard, and 90% of the time he's solid. But you know what? And I don't say this personally. This is not like he is like this. But he's a loser.
Yeah.
And he, you know what I mean? Like he throws hard.
He throws hard,
and that's it.
He hasn't done anything.
Well, and he's also been terrible in clutch situations.
True.
So I think if you want to win, I think culturally that's something you need to change because in big spots in a couple years in a row. He has totally screwed the pooch. But
are they going to be able to get rid of these guys and take their money? Because there's teams out there aren't going to take that contract.
No. And then Cashman's.
The Yankees can't eat all that money and then turn around and try to sign these guys.
See, I think Cashman's a great GM, but I think this is where it runs into a problem. And I honestly think they will not win a World Series with Aroldis Chapman as their closer. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've typecast him, but I've seen enough of him just throw up on himself in a big spot that I don't think he's the guy.
He definitely throws up on himself. I agree. But then again, you know, the Yankees have been spoiled rottenly for closers. I mean, you just sat there for like 15 years and just went like this, and it was just
but you know what? They deserve somebody who's legit, and it's the
but who
Yankees.
Out there is legit?
Find somebody. Listen,
there's nobody in baseball is a closer anymore like that is going to have longevity. Like, these guys are great,
right?
And then they're great for three or four years. I mean, look at how many teams out there are switching their closers every season.
Right, so you find some guy in Double-A who's got good
makeup. But the problem is the Yankees, it's what sucks about the Yankees is you just can't do that, which is stupid. They always have to have like the guy, or they coddle him like Jabba Chamberlain and you know, puppet the hell out of him instead of just grabbing him and bringing him up. Like, they just it's something about the Yankees that kind of is like a shot in the arm. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, interesting. I just wanted to bring that up.
And that's talking to your point about Chapman. It's like, can you just go out there? And can you just, they always have to have, like, it seems like, they got to go out and get the next guy. Like, oh, well, Bauer's available, they got to sign him.
Yeah.
Cole's available, you got to sign him. Well, it's like, well, you can't just keep signing these guys and then think you're going to have money to run a team.
But the Yankees have always been that way.
Go back
to Dave Winfield.
Well, I know. I mean, like, that's the thing. They've always been like that. And that's like, you have to, like, keep up that marquee, like, thing. And that's why I think part of it, being a general manager like Cashman, yeah, like, a lot of these moves don't pan out because a lot of these guys are way overrated because they're coming off of one or two good years.
I also
remember Danny Tartable?
Sure, of course.
Right, the guy played for like a minute.
I think that these guys also, some of these guys get, like with Ellsbury, I don't know, he's injury prone, but they finally get the money. And like,
they just shut it off.
But it's human nature. I'm not blaming them necessarily.
The kickback.
Like, they're different. Some guys can't stay hungry with that money. And I'm not even saying I could. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that sometimes when you
get
that...
It's easy to turn into panda.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
He's still playing too, that son of a bitch. I can't believe it. He's in the playoffs again.
Finally off the books with the Red Sox.
Dude, that guy has got more World Series rings and more playoff experience and more money for being
more body fat.
And doing...
He might be one of the most hated athletes Boston's seen in the last 20 years.
God, and that guy is just rolling in it. Can you imagine living that guy's life?
When he signed, I was covering opening day at Fenway for the NBC in Boston. And I went into the pro shop and they're like, what's selling the best? They're like these little panda hats.
Yeah.
Like he was, they promoted
what was in San Francisco? They were all over the place. They were wearing them
yeah.
out there.
And then he was gone in a hot minute. Listen, before we wrap things up, I want to talk about the Sox because we mentioned George Springer. If they don't sign JBJ, I still think somebody else is going to outbid the Red Sox.
I think he's going to go to the Mets. I think Springer's going to go to the Mets. And I think
but that means JBJ doesn't go to the Mets, so maybe
JBJ doesn't go anywhere. I think he comes back to the Red Sox.
You do.
Again, he's another guy, and we talked about having the token, too.
But is he worth $15 million
a year? He's not going to get that. Come on. No way. He sucks, dude. He'll never get that.
He's probably top five center fielders defensively in baseball.
Get out of here with this noise. Defensively, exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, Gary Sanchez throws out, what, 25% of his runners, and he's still making $7 million a year.
Oh, so you think George Springer goes to the Mets? That
I think the Mets are
going to
go
bit.
Crazy. I mean, why not? If that guy, this guy has all this money, and he outright owns the team, and he don't care.
But he's not stupid. I don't think he wants to necessarily blow it out
No. He's going to be smart, but at the same time, like, I don't think he cares about paying a luxury tax. And you hear every year with the Yankees and Steinbrenner, it's like, oh, we're going to get another luxury tax. And you're like, you know, if they have a shot at getting after it, they're not going to worry about the luxury.
See, I assumed that the Red Sox would go after Springer and lose JBJ, but you're saying the market for JBJ isn't as healthy as I think it is, and Springer's going to the Mets. Okay, so that's
well, here's the deal with JBJ, right? He has to go to a team that can absorb his bat, right? How many teams can absorb his bat? Now, hopefully, for him, someone like him, maybe, you know, like, the DH is still sticking around so he can get on a team where they can absorb that, you know? But if he's not going to go to the National League.
Interesting. Everyone's still waiting for him to become a hitter. Because his swing is awesome. He's got a great-looking swing.
Well, he's got the left-handed swing and stuff. He is an amazing outfielder. I mean, there's no debate about that. But looking at baseball nowadays, it's like, how many teams can hide that? Like, right. You need people to produce.
You need your center fielder to go 20-80 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's talking about the Yankees who got a trade for Lindor. They're giving up on Gleyber. I mean, Gleyber's not a free agent for 2025. I mean, his stock is good right now. It's not as good as it was last year. But I think if you can get after Lindor, but you're going to have to sign him because he's a free agent after next year.
I think next year, I don't think the Red Sox can become a contender in one offseason. I think their holes are that. Losing Betts, which is still immeasurable, and I think that they just have too many holes and they're too thin at starter. Even if Eduardo Rodriguez comes back, even if Chris Sale comes back, I still think that their starter
health.
Are too short. So I think that the Yankees, this is their window. I actually think that they need to go after it this year.
They need DJ back. I think they can work around the other stuff. They got to get DJ back. Hopefully Severino comes back healthy. You got Clark Schmidt you might be able to mix in. I'm guessing Tanaka will come back. I think he's going to come back to the Yankees. I think he'll sign him. Pretty discounted rate as far as what money, you know. He had a big contract on the front end. They right. gave him a lot of money up for the times. So I think, you know, again, but he could probably go somewhere else too. He's a solid pitcher. But
all right, so give me your top two. We've already talked about, we sum it up, your top two things that are going to happen for the Yankees in this offseason.
All right, I'm going to say they'll re-sign DJ, and I'm going to go crazy on this one. Trevor Bauer, 1 year. $40 million.
Why would he do that?
Because of the COVID. Uncertainty. Come back 1 year. And he's just crazy enough to do it. And what if he comes out and wins a Cy Young with the Yankees? And the Yankees are like, shit.
I think New York would love that guy. I mean, I think that...
There's rumors that him and Cole didn't get along at UCLA.
Oh, but, really?
I mean, they're... Dude, if this show hit it big, there'd be rumors you and I didn't get along.
But Bauer's an alpha. I mean, I could see him coming into a locker room and stirring up the pot.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing. I mean, listen, the core thing is the biggest news of the offseason. Obviously, it's kind of a slam dunk to say what happens in center field. I think the more I read about the Mets, the more depressed I am because, you know, George Springer went to UConn. It's a good story. As you mentioned off camera and off mic, that he didn't really get sullied in the cheating scandal so much. I think Boston would really like him. So I think the center field issue is tied with pitching 1 and 1A. I mean, you can't
Springer's a good player, too. I mean, you're going to get.
And he's a good locker room guy.
Yeah, he's
fans
good.
Will like him.
And I got nothing bad to say against George.
Yeah, I mean.
Some hard hitting.
Yeah, he's just.
Hard hitting.
That's right. You got that right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is always. Is Fan Base a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports? You can enjoy this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also go on Twitter and respond to us. Let us know what you think. And
YouTube, too.
Yep, that's right. And we'll see you next time.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.